Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good morning, LaTanya. How are you? Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. My phone is really going crazy this morning. Good morning. Hello? Bugging out. Let's see. I hope that I am on the air. I just dropped my caller off. This is Melissa. I'm having technical difficulties this morning. Good morning. Let me calm down into this program. I did not mean to drop my caller off. We have LaTanya Summers this morning, and I hope she calls back in. Dear God, we just want to thank you right now for just allowing us to be here this morning. Just want to thank you for blessing us and keeping us safe. Just want to thank you for just helping us to just have a good day and for everything that we need to do. LaTanya, are you here?
Yes. Can you hear me?
You know what? I was having difficulties getting on the line.
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes. Good.
All right.
Hear you.
Well, good, good. I'm so very sorry. This is definitely a morning.
Yeah.
I'm just glad to be here. I'm glad to be here. Look, let me calm myself down.
Yes. Yes. Take a few deep breaths.
You got to be able to just recoup yourself, right?
Yes.
And
we
just thank God for just I'm just glad you called back in. I was like, oh, please let her call back in.
Yes.
Let's see. Well, this morning, April is still Alcohol Awareness Month. It just seems like this month is the longest month ever. I think it's because I started celebrating Alcohol Awareness Month in the end of March, and I think May it'll be another month, Mental Health Month probably. I don't know.
That's right. It is.
So I guess we'll pick up. Maybe we'll do a third Thursday. Let you call in, and we'll chat about that if it's okay with you.
Yes. Would love. Yeah. Would love that. So you're a busy woman.
The first week that we brought the program in, we were talking about what Alcohol Awareness Month is, and you know we identified that in April since 1987, the National Council on Alcoholism and Drug Dependence sponsors Alcohol Awareness Month to increase public awareness and understanding, reduce stigma, and encourage local communities to focus on alcoholism and alcohol-related issues. So our first week, I invited Anuvia. His name was Justin. And I don't know if you know it or not, but Anuvia posted 3,000 and some more flags to represent the DWIs in Mecklenburg County.
Okay.
And they had some news coverage about that. And it was to increase awareness because they're right there on Randolph Road. And they also gave away Alcolox, I believe. And what that was is it was to give parents a lock to put on their alcohol at home, they said, because statistically kids get into their parents, you know, their first experience with alcohol is with their parents' alcohol that's not locked up at home or the parents are giving it to them.
Uh-huh.
And then the second week, we interviewed the young lady from the Drug Free Coalition, Charlotte Mecklenburg Drug Free Coalition, and some of the programs that they had for the month, which yesterday I was real interested in, and she shared about it. It was not alcohol, but they did a 420 day to take back 420, and what that was is because the kids had a half day in Charlotte yesterday, and 420 is an unofficial holiday for marijuana, so their idea was to do a field day at Freedom Park and allow the kids to be able to come over there and have some vendors, some giveaways, and some music and some food so that they
really
would get out of school and go and get high. So I thought that was a good idea. And then last week I talked about alcohol screening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did just questions about the cage or different questions that individuals can ask themselves about, you know, whether or not they believe that they have a problem. You know, cage is real easy. I always get that one wrong, but I think it's cut down. I forget what the A is. The
annoyed.
D is being guilty, and then the E. Oh, is anyone being annoyed? And then the E. So I want to turn it over to you because I've given you some questions, and you can answer. You can ask them and answer them as you will, and let people know who you are again and what your program is and things like that. I turn it over to you, LaTanya Summers, from Life Skills Counseling and Consulting. I hope I have that right.
Yes, you do. Yes, Life Skills Counseling and Consulting. Good morning. And as Melissa said, I am LaTanya Summers. Life Skills, we do mental health counseling as well as substance abuse counseling from children, adolescents, adults, couples, and families. So, so glad to be here with you this morning. And Melissa, I hope you've taken those couple of deep breaths. As practitioners,
I am.
Yes, it's important for us to practice what we preach, and it's so hard to do sometimes. But you're absolutely right. This is Alcohol Awareness Month. And one of your questions was, what's the biggest thing facing Charlotte right now? What's the biggest, you know, issue facing us as far as substance abuse? And, Melissa, alcohol will probably always be a really big issue nationwide, country, you know, in our country because of our culture. Our biggest issue right now is heroin. How much do you know about heroin use here in the city?
I don't know, and I wish you hadn't asked me that because yesterday, I kid you not, I want to say that when I was stopped at the gas station, this is random, but not really, stopped at
okay.
the gas station, getting gas, come outside, young man is running back inside, call 911, what's going on? You got a woman in the car, eyes rolled back in her head, I'm trying to figure out, you know, is she having a seizure or what is it? The next thing I hear, she is overdosed. I was like,
yes.
Really?
Yes.
I had never in all my days seen anybody
yeah.
overdose. And then I was sharing with my husband. I said, first of all, I don't want to get involved in that because that's a reporting issue and things like that. Mm-hmm. And if she was overdosing, you know, you take a liability when you're trying to assist. And so the next thing I saw was somebody running out with some water and
yeah.
I said, I have never seen
yes,
that happen,
ma'am.
But I know that it's to the extent now that you have, I think, the officers ride around with
yes.
pins or something.
Yes, ma'am.
So go ahead.
Yes,
and so I don't know the epidemic, but I just kind of saw, I witnessed that on yesterday.
Yeah,
was
I know.
The most terrible thing ever.
Yes, so alcohol is a big issue, and I'm going to bring the attention back to alcohol because it is alcohol awareness. But heroin is our biggest issue right now. It is crazy, Melissa, that you're at the gas station getting gas, your normal, you know, day-to-day routine, and here it is, someone has overdosed on heroin. That is our big issue. The numbers I have here are from 2014. So they're alarming for 2014. Now that it's 2016, I can't imagine what the numbers are, but our ER visits are crazy as a result of heroin overdoses, and it's in our schools. And this is an affluent drug issue. So we're talking our most affluent schools in the city. We're talking Providence, Audrey Kale, the Christian Academy schools are really, really, really struggling with this. But the numbers I have is heroin overdoses more than doubled in 2 years. There were 32 overdoses in 2011, 55 in 2012, 73 in 2013. So if they were doubling like that, imagine, and 73 in 2013, here we are in 2016. Can you imagine what those numbers are? They must be in the hundreds by now.
Yes, right.
Probably.
Yes, and so no wonder EMS is going around with what they call the Narcan. Naloxone
okay.
is the formal name for that particular drug. And the project is called the Lazarus Project because, like an EpiPen, if you stick someone who's overdosed, it, so to speak, resurrects them. And what the Drug Coalition, I was on the council for the Drug Prevention Council here in Mecklenburg County, but we were having conversations like, this needs to be in the hands of family members, these Narcan pens. They need to be in the hands of family members. I have two sons at Appalachian State, and one of my son's roommates died this year, overdosed, on heroin. His own roommate. I'm like, son, first of all, did you know your roommate was on heroin? But, yeah, it's a huge, huge issue, and it is affecting kids who have money.
So did he know that the young man was on heroin?
Yes, he knew that his roommate was on heroin, and what he had been doing was trying to save him himself, you know, looking after him, checking in on him, and that's how he found his roommate dead, checking in on him. And I'm like, so the stories that are coming out, even last month a mother was on the news just talking about her son Josh, who was 29 and had died of a heroin overdose. It's a huge, huge issue. So I want to put that out there to families, friends, college students. If you have a loved one that you know is using heroin, get in touch with the local health department or some of the drug agencies. Melissa mentioned Anuvia, and see if you can get your hands on a Narcan kit. It is effective. It is effective. We've got to do something to be able to save these kids' lives. So, Melissa,
I appreciate you sharing that, because a lot of people say, well, you know what, that is not affecting us, that is not an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And if since it is Alcohol Awareness Month, alcohol or the use of it does introduce a lot of things into individuals' lives, whether we acknowledge that or not. And you're saying, well, like the kids never, you know, how are they finding themselves using the heroin? So let's just take a look at with alcohol and some of the denial that is around alcohol. And I think that it's the same type of denial that is around the use of heroin. If you know that someone is using a substance and you're saying, you know what, it's not that bad. At this point, if the kids are using heroin, they're saying, you know what, it's not that bad. They haven't overdosed. You know, just like with alcohol, you know, I haven't blacked out. Okay, just because you haven't doesn't mean that you won't.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yes, you are absolutely right. We generally associate marijuana as the gateway drug, that it's the drug that leads to other drugs. But before you get to marijuana, oftentimes, like you said, kids are starting with alcohol. It's coming from, you know, the parents, or there are parents who have the mentality is, if you're going to drink, I'd rather you do it here in the house. That way I can see you, I can watch you, and I can know what you're drinking or doing. So, you know, that alcohol use may or may not start at home. It may start at school, but there is a high level of denial. It's, you know, kids and parents and adults are thinking, I'm functioning. I still go to work. I still go to school. You know, I still do my work, so I don't have a problem. Or people will say, I'll know when to stop drinking. I'll know when to stop drinking. I know when it's too much. But I'm like, no one drinks to become an alcoholic. You don't know which drink it is that will trigger alcoholism or addiction in you. You don't know which drink that is.
That's right.
And so, you don't know which cigarette is going to be the one that leads to, you know, cancer or something else. You just don't know. So we've got to, you know, do things more. You know, we've just got to monitor. And then the denial.
Let's think about
regarding,
you said culturally. Culturally, you're saying that we're drinking. And I'm trying to figure out, so what is the gateway to heroin? Because people say, well, you know, they're picking it up off the street. You know, my thought is, just again with the alcohol awareness, if you have a family member that drinks, then they have a tolerance of that. If you have a family member that is taking prescription medicines, that is oftentimes
the gateway
into the higher use, because if they're taking any of the pain medicines, the oxycodone, the OxyContin, whatever the, you know, whatever comes from the opiate, then heroin is in that same family. And people say, well, you know what, no, the doctor prescribed, you know, just like, well, we can go buy alcohol. Well, the doctor prescribed this pain medicine for blah, 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 and then it's in the house. That was the other thing. They, you know, another initiative with the Drug Free Coalition is to get rid of your prescriptions if you're no longer taking them, not just leaving them in the medicine cabinet, because kids are getting into those. And I might want to understand that those numbers you were citing, if they were to be able to ask, you know, the kids, what did you use before you used the heroin? I wonder how many of them would answer, I got medicines. My parents gave me medicines because I had an injury from football, or my parents gave me medicine because I had an injury from volleyball or something like that. You know, they didn't go to the doctor. Well, okay, we didn't go to the doctor, but my parents gave me this medicine. It made me feel better.
Yes. Yes, yes. I would absolutely agree with you that addiction, I think any kind of addiction starts very subtly. And, you know, kids, sports injury or any kind of injury, but with a prescription, you know, for painkillers, you know, it's just, it's really easy to fall into the trap of addiction. And then all you need is for someone else at school to deal. There were some numbers. I recently did a project, and I can't remember those numbers, but the numbers of kids using in school was really, really high. And we're talking alcohol, but that mm-hmm. using on campus or had been offered drugs, so even outside of alcohol, but had been offered drugs, pills, you know, heroin, mollies. On school campuses, those numbers were very, very alarming. Let's see if I can pull those up. You know, I don't know. And then as parents, we don't, you never dream that your child is going to be an alcoholic or addict. You dream of ballet, dancing, music. You dream of all those things. And so sometimes that can cloud our judgment or make us hesitant to confront our children. Even when we see signs and symptoms, we'll just say, oh, no, it's not that. Or we're so overwhelmed or stressed, we just pick and choose our battles and say, I can't deal with that today. And then that today turns in so many tomorrows that a year has passed, you know?
They show that one commercial where they say you need to have the conversation with your kids, and then the parent goes to say, you know, to talk to the kids, and they were like, you know, never mind. And then the next time they go to talk to them, you know, never mind, I got to go do this. And then the next time they talk to them is when they're in the hospital or when they're, you know, they're dead or something like that. Those commercials, for me, are real effective because that makes me say, you know what, I need to talk to my kids a little more, listen to them a little more, be more perceptive. No matter what's going on, you know, I need to just stop and say, this is what I need to, you know, to be a sounding board, because I had heard someone say before, you know, just still staying with the awareness, a lot of times the kids will reach out to us young to share things with us, and we might not think what they're sharing is very important, but to them it's the most important thing ever. And if we say, you know, no, just go ahead or whatever, then when they get older, they then really don't share anything that's important that we think they probably should have said to us. You know, then they say, well, why did you not tell us? Because, you know, a long time ago when I was trying to share, you know, about, say, Billy at school or something, you know, something, he talked too much in the cafeteria. Well, we heard that is just what a kid does. But that was an effective, that was something that made, it was very important to them, and we didn't listen. And so we kind of set up an attitude of we're not going to listen to them later either, so.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And maybe some education to parents. What do you say, you know, what do you say, you know, to your kids? How do you have that conversation? So I think, like you said, those commercials are really, really poignant. But what do you say and how do you have those conversations with your kids in a way that they can hear you? You know, you don't want to overreact.
Right.
You know, yes, you don't want to overreact. But, you know, something as simple as, and these kids these days, they have, you know, things they can put in their eyes or scents and sprays that you can't smell that mask the smell of drugs. So sometimes it's really hard to detect. But our last radio conversation, we talked about just old school parenting, you know, still conducting searches, you know, so that you're aware of what children are doing. You know, having conversations over the dinner table. You know, hey, son, I'm hearing about alcohol use on school property. I'm hearing about heroin overdoses in the community. How is this affecting you? Any of your friends using? How about you? You know, but learning how to have those conversations with kids in a non-threatening and non-judgmental way can be hard.
You know, being in the field is kind of twofold, I guess. For, you know, if you are a parent, I'm a parent, and then being in it, and we learn a lot. And my running joke is that I just don't want my kids to be in my group later. So I try to do the, you know, I just try to, whatever that the clients say to me, I try to make sure that I heed with my kids. you know, well, my parent wasn't there. So I try to make a habit of showing up at their school, getting to know their friends, you know, showing up at activities, allowing them to go to activities, or trying to show them, you know, like around in March for St. Patrick's Day, we did a St. Patrick's Day parade. I did that for the planning and with my kids. And my whole thought of doing that was later on they may be confronted with St. Patrick's Day being a drinking event. So I wanted to at least them to have an alternative to say that, you know what, I remember a time when I was with my mother and my father where there wasn't drinking, but we still had a really good time.
Yes,
and there's, you know,
good.
I just think that, you know, there's this, you know, that's the stuff that I just do for myself. People have to come up with their own things. But I think remaining aware of what's going on, listening to their music, you know.
Oh, God,
their music tells them, you know, their music tells you a lot. A lot of parents are like, I don't want to hear that boopity boop or whatever. But, you know, listening to the music, seeing what they're watching, seeing what kind of games they're playing, you know, just kind of that, I mean, awareness goes beyond, you know, just having that conversation, because they're so inundated with youth in this society. It's just ridiculous to me. I don't know if you find that as well.
Oh, God, yeah. Yes, you're absolutely right. As parents, yes, we do have to watch what they watch, listen to what they're listening to, because those musics and reality shows, you know, the people are sitting there with red cups, and then if they don't even know what's in that cup, if they listen to their music is telling them about scissorp in their cup and what scissorp is. And if we're not aware, we don't know when they're walking around with a red cup, you know, what might be in that particular cup. And what they're watching and listening to desensitizes them, so that when they see it in the public, they think nothing of it. When they, you know, see it with their friends or at a cookout or a party, wherever they are, they're already desensitized and can sing the lyrics. So, when I was working with adolescent substance abusers, one of the things I would do with them is music therapy. And music therapy, allowing them to bring their music in, examining their lyrics, and examining what influences this music has on them and the impact, and then helping them to change the soundtrack of their life. If this is your soundtrack, then it contributes to your use of drugs and alcohol. What if we got you a different soundtrack? You know, what if we changed your playlist? And so music therapy, helping them to change their playlist to music that is more, you know, inspirational or uplifting or motivating, that's going to motivate them to do something different and better and create a different outcome. But you're absolutely right. Music is really big when you're dealing with substance abuse. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, culturally, with alcoholism, the Latino population is increasing here in the city, and alcohol use and cultural, you know, is a really big issue for those of us who treat the Latino population. And we need more services for that population as it continues to grow here. Culturally, with African Americans and the target African Americans being targeted by alcohol companies, corporations, you know, is really huge and big, from billboards to alcohols with higher alcohol content, like malt liquors, and how they're sold in those communities. I mean, so culturally, certain populations are targeted, and that needs to be brought to the community's awareness as well. Peter Bell is a researcher and kind of a pioneer. His seminal work about African Americans and alcohol and how we're targeted is really, really important. He would say things like, you know, higher alcohol contents or malt liquors are sold in our stores and our communities. You won't find them in suburban places or Harris Teeter. And not only that, those alcohols have deadly names, Mad Dog, Colt 45, I'm not even able to think, King Cobra, but they're all associated with deadly names. And so the black community is like,
that's,
you know,
real.
Hey, yes, what'd you say, Melissa?
No, that's real interesting that, I mean, I don't know Peter Bell, but I'm listening to what you're saying. My when I'm doing groups and they'll tell me they use this drink or that drink, it's just funny that you said that. Like, they'll drink Fireball. I'm like, listen to what that's saying to you.
Yes.
You know, it just told you what it was going to do when you drank it.
Yes.
You know, and they were like, what, Melissa? I'm like, the drink was called Fireball. You know, something like, you know, they have those slushies that, forget, Wet Willies.
Yeah.
You know, one called Call a Cab. It's telling you to call a cab because whatever it's going to do to you is going to require you to call a cab.
Yes,
you know, and they're like,
Melissa,
seriously? I'm like, no, you have to listen to what the thing is telling you that it's going to do to you and not to be in denial about that. I know that we're probably nearing the end of our time, and I wanted to wonder, do you have any workshops or anything that's coming up in the next few weeks or months? I wanted to give you an opportunity to share about that, if you will.
Yes, I don't have any substance abuse related workshops coming up, but monthly I do mental health related workshops, and they are for mental health and substance abuse professionals. And Friday in May, we are doing Friday, May the 13th from 9 to 12, we are doing a multicultural competence workshop using the respectful counseling model. But right now, because of our political climate, it's challenging everything we know about multiculturalism, from, you know, bathrooms, which for African Americans can be reminiscent of a time when, you know, bathrooms were separate. So, you know, having to do some talk around that and making sure that, you know, different kinds of folks are okay. So that's Friday, May the 13th from 9 to 12. And information about our workshops are on our website. And that is at www.lifeskillscgroup.com.
I just always want to give you an opportunity to share about that, because you do you do. I appreciate you taking the time to come on and share with me. Like I said, I spend a lot of time. I really am passionate about education for individuals surrounding substance abuse, because you see a lot, and we see a lot, I hear a lot, and I know that it has a great effect on our communities in so many ways. And I want people to be able to know that, you know, not just myself, you know, or my agency, but there are other resources that are available in the community to help people. But you have to, you know, reach out and find these places. And I always appreciate people calling in and, you know, and texting or emailing and, you know, asking different questions and things like that. And I always ask for people to just share about what they're doing in the community, because there's a lot of need that is out there that cannot be filled by just one or two individuals. We really need to be collective, and there's a value to every single aspect of things that we do out here in the community. So I just really wanted to say thank you
for
sharing about what you have going on and some of your insight. And a lot of times with, I don't know if my clients listen, because I tell them about the program and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want them to feel like I'm the only one that, you know, feel like I'm an authority or whatever over what we're doing. So we only have about 90-60 seconds left. And so Alcohol Awareness Month last week is next week, and we'll be into Mental Health Month, and maybe next month we'll talk about the different stigmas that are attached and ways that we can encourage individuals to reach out. Mental health is not just mental health, it's health of your mind. We could just turn that word around. Maybe that'll help people to be more receptive of it, and that'll be our conversation for next week. And LaTanya, I'm going to close out by just saying I just want to thank God for allowing us the opportunity to come together, to share, just be educated about different things that are going on, just continue to provide us with wisdom. Thank you for the knowledge that you've bestowed upon us, and thank you for LaTanya and the knowledge that she has and her experience. And, dear God, we just want to say that as we go throughout the day, throughout the week, and throughout the year, that you just continue to just work through us and allow us the opportunity to continue to just be use us and just to glorify you. And we just pray all these things in Jesus' name. LaTanya, you have a good day. Everyone have
a
good week. All right?
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.